Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Welcome, everybody, to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio for this Monday morning, July the 18th of 2022. I'm your host, Rick McCann. This is a production of Blue Ram Media Group and Private Officer International. We do, again today, have a lot to talk about. A lot of violence has occurred during the past 7 days since we last was on air. We have several other projects to discuss, and I want to introduce you to a deputy sheriff who is making his name not because of all of the busts and arrests and tickets that he's writing. No, he actually has a secondary career, which is looking to be like it might be his primary career coming up real soon. Also, in the last 3 or 4 days, you may not have known it, but the National Crisis Line and Suicide Prevention Line has changed now to just a 3-digit number like 911. Instead, it's 988. This number is being used nationwide. It is also being used for the Veterans Crisis Line and Suicide Line. Again, that number is 988. This is a national number now that rolled out several days ago and can be used across the country. And we've been assured that this number is working. It is basically the same setup. They have the National Suicide Prevention and Crisis Intervention working in the same unit. They can also now, if you're calling from Atlanta, Georgia, they can now immediately patch you through to the local suicide prevention or crisis teams in that area and get them on the way out to you. This used to take a little bit of time to activate regional systems. Now they're all connected, and my understanding is that it'll be a lot quicker, a lot faster, and the whole key is that they hope to prevent the loss of life much more. They did state in their press release and in their recent media coverage the number of calls, the volume of calls that they have received in the last 2 years and how much more that they've gone up. I don't have those in front of me, but it was quite substantial. And they believe that this new system will expedite folks getting to a live counselor on the phone instead of having to wait in a queue. And of course, many people, they don't wait, they hang up. I have actually have some time working in crisis intervention and also working on the hotlines. In fact, that's where I first got my training and certification in Nashville, Tennessee, with the local crisis center, and got certified and went on and began working on the crisis hotline and also in the field. And that was a part-time gig, but it did teach me a lot of things, and it really taught me how to talk to people and how to be empathetic and to be more of a listener than a talker. You wouldn't know that right now because I'm doing a lot of talking, but that's my job behind the microphone. But this seems to be maybe a solution to some of the problems that they were having, and hopefully it does work better. And you know, like anything else, it's not really new. It is new. It's not new. A lot of it is been in place for many years. Just the numbers seems to be new, but we'll give it a go and we'll see how it works. And as I get more information over the next few weeks or months, we'll report back to you. As I said a moment ago, there's a lot of violence that has occurred over the last 7 days, and we're going to bring that to you. A lot of security officers who have been shot. We are still checking on several possible fatal shootings that occurred over the last 3 or 4 days. And we'll see what happens. Hopefully before the radio program is over, we'll have a definite answer as to if there was and the number. If you like Live PD, as I mentioned on my other radio program yesterday, if you are a Live PD fan and you've been following what's going on, Live PD was the number one cable network show on Friday and Saturday night for almost 2 years running with over 200 episodes. If you've never seen it, it was much better than Cops shows because it was live. There was only about a 20-second delay from action to what you see on the TV screen. And they had camera folks and also production crews in the field with 3 to 4 different police departments each week following them around for 3 hours filming live. There were some blunders in the first couple of episodes. There was a deceased baby that a police officer was carrying across the street to, I believe, an ambulance. And I guess no one realized that the baby was, you know, not alive. There was a shooting in Richland County, South Carolina. Again, this went live on the air. There was no delay at that time, or at least not significant enough where it would stop that from making it out to all of the audience. But it was live, Live PD. And then along came the riots and the Black Lives Matters and so on and so forth, and they shut down Live PD. There were some other situations going on behind the scene, but nothing that would have taken them off the air. Also, several other police shows, Law and Order, was taken off for a number of months during these protests and riots. And Live PD, the executive producer, Dan Abrams, who is an attorney, he's a legal analyst for ABC News. He has his own Cyrus radio show. He owns a number of legal businesses, and he at one time was on Court TV as a legal analyst there many years ago. He was the executive producer and the host of Live PD, and he said when the show was taken off that he would bring it back. It took 2 years, but if you have not heard a similar show called On Patrol Live, will be making its debut this Friday. And if you were a Live PD fan, then you will probably be a On Patrol Live fan as well. This Friday, 8 p.m., this is going to be a 3-hour show, and it will be on Saturday as well. Pretty much the same format as Live PD, also being produced by the same production company that produced Live PD, except they changed their name. Now they're being called Half Moon. And the studios will also be in New York City. I'm not sure if it will be out of the ABC headquarters or not, but it should be interesting this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central. And we'll see what happens. But I thought that it was a pretty good show. We are doing something like that on our streaming network coming up. We're working on a number of projects. In fact, I just got some information over the weekend about one of the episodes. And we will be putting that out as soon as possible. And we'll see how that does and how that takes off. Remember, to be part of the conversation, all that you have to do is go to facebook.com/Private Officer International, twitter.com/Private Officer. Check out our daily news blog. Everything is fresh every single day. We monitor almost 3,000 news sites. Read that at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We do, speaking of news, have some not so good news to bring to you, and we have other news as well. I want to talk about this police officer, deputy sheriff in Atlanta, Fulton County, who risked his own life this past week to save a suicidal female on the roof of a high, tall building in downtown Atlanta. We'll be talking about that. We're also going to be talking in today's topic about how to protect yourself against defiant suspects who don't care a thing about law enforcement or anyone wearing a uniform. You may or may not have heard that police officers in a certain community now have bounty on their head. And a security officer was targeted this past week for wearing a uniform. We brought several stories over the last few weeks to you about a security officer in New Jersey was killed. He was ambushed because he had been involved in a fatal shooting about a year and a half previous. Another TSA security officer in New York City was gunned down walking to his mother's house. That was an ambush, and it also had something to do with his job. Now we're hearing about police having bounties on their head and other security officers being targeted. When I come back here in a few moments, we'll give you all of the details on that. We'll talk about a couple of other topics that I think are very important in this day and age. And remember, you can send news anytime to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You are listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we're coming right back.
More than 114,000 people are waiting on an organ transplant at any given time in the U.S., and at least 80% of those are waiting for a kidney.
For kidneys, it largely defaults to waiting time, but for livers, hearts, and lungs, it's largely based on the degree of illness and how sick someone is, and that defines their priority on the waiting list.
Dr. Charles Rosen, director of the Transplant Center at Mayo Clinic, says living donors can help save people waiting for a kidney or a liver, but those waiting for other organs, unfortunately, have to wait for a deceased donor. Dr. Rosen says if you're interested in saving another person's life with your organs after you die, it's important to sign up as a donor now while you're still alive to save your family from having to make a difficult decision at a difficult time.
We've heard from donor families or potential donor families that decided not to donate because it was such a stressful time in their lives that then 3-6 months later they felt some remorse for not doing that.
For the Mayo Clinic News Network, I'm Ian Roth.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it. Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat on this Monday morning. I mentioned last week we have a brand new radio show on multiple platforms and being broadcasted also on the iHeartRadio. And you can also get it at iTunes and about 27 different platforms. We're also on the Amazon Radio Network. We're on Audible. If you've ever downloaded a book from Audible, we are there as well. And we're at many other platforms, iTunes and many others. Our new radio show is called Highway 98 Radio, and it's a locally produced radio show about the Alabama Gulf Coast. It's a music, event, news platform. It's very much like any other local radio station that you might listen to. You can download the app in the app store and get it. You can go to iHeartRadio and get it as well. Highway 98 Radio. Remember that this is not a training or a topical or a police style show. This is a locally produced radio show from a local neighborhood, and it gives you insight on the Gulf Coast of Florida, Alabama, and Mississippi. I think you'll find it interesting. We talk a lot about local news and happening. We play a lot of good music. If you like country, bluegrass, gospel, and indie music. In fact, you can also send your own indie song. If you are a singer, we'll play it. Send it to us, and we will let others hear it. helpdesk@blueramedia.com. We're producing several other shows as well. We produce LP Zone, all about loss prevention and organized retail crime. I'm going to have an opportunity to speak about that coming up in a few weeks, about how security is dealing with the organized retail crime and the gangs taking over stores and stealing tens of thousands of dollars worth of property. We also produce on the legal side, all about the legal aspects of the business, both security and law enforcement and really any business. You can learn a lot from the legal aspect. And we're going to be producing several other shows coming up, as well as, like I said, just on the first segment, our streaming network. Very, very happy, excited, and we're looking for folks to be involved in a number of ways, post-production especially. And if you'd like to go on the road and become one of our roadies and do some filming and help out there, you can contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. A friend of mine, we were supposed to get together a couple of years ago at a zoo, and because of COVID, and there were some situations also with some animal situations going on, we had to take a rain check on that. But I intend now, we've been speaking, and hopefully in the next few weeks to a month, we'll be filming how they do their job, how they protect the animals, the people, the staff. There's another zoo with rangers that I had talked to previously, and we may just include those folks in as well, and we'll have a zoo program. But a lot of things happening. Breaking Bread, that is a show where we sit down with public safety professionals, whether it's security, law enforcement, fire, EMS. There's also a number of other public safety groups that we seldom think about, like game wardens and park rangers. And a couple of months ago, just around Christmas time, I guess, so I guess that's been longer than a couple of months, but we also sat down with a Border Patrol agent, and we awarded him a Purple Heart, and we filmed that. So that's going to be part of our first upcoming show as well. So much happening. Be involved. You can also be involved and be part of the committees that we have. We have the Officer Down Committee. We have the Awards Committee. We have the Benevolent Committee. All that you got to do is send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I think you're going to find that it's not going to take a lot of your time, but it is very, very rewarding. You can also help us on the virtual museum. We're still working on that project. This is a full calendar. This is something that takes a lot of hands and a lot of people to be involved. And we'd love for you to get involved. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Also, this past week, I had the opportunity to talk to a good friend of mine. He recently retired, and he's doing some training. He was a county employee in the emergency service field, and now he's coming on board with Armor College. He's going to be one of our instructors for emergency services, so we're very excited about that. We are currently putting together a brand new business, which is coming from Armor College. It's going to be called Training Crew. Training Crew. This will be a separate business, a spinoff business, if you will. It will allow individuals to take control of their life, of their future, by becoming an instructor. There's no royalty fee. There's no franchise fee. One-time low payment, and we'll be telling you more about that coming up. You'll be able to train, go to people's homes, businesses, churches, and schools, and really, like I said, take your own future in your hands. About just recently, an idea popped up in my head. I was thinking crew, instructor crew, field crew. I thought about the Geek Squad, and I said, hey, how about the Training Crew, So this is going to be a new aspect, a new business, a spinoff from Armor College, and we'll be talking about that during the next few weeks. We're going to take a quick break. We certainly do have a lot more to talk about. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Reach out to us and let us know what you're hearing in the field, where you're at, what you're seeing, if you have any questions. I will tell you that we have a lot of responses, but not a lot of follow-up. So people want to be involved, but they just never get around to being involved. So certainly hope that, you know, we can turn this around, because there is so much value in what we do, and we need people like you to be part of it. We'll be right back on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Every 40 seconds, someone around the world takes their own life. Every 13 minutes, someone in the U.S. commits suicide. While you were getting ready for work this morning, in the first hour of your day, as many as 5 people in the U.S. have killed themselves. By lunchtime, about 20 people in the U.S. have taken their own life. At the end of an 8-hour workday, about 40 people in the U.S. killed themselves. In a 24-hour period, as many as 111 people in the U.S. committed suicide.
From coast to coast, cops are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night, or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio Show this morning. If you, your company, your church, your school would like to sponsor training in your neighborhood, now would be that time. Now would be a great time, as a matter of fact, as we start making our way across the country doing training and bringing back the memorial service, Officer Dowell Memorial Services, between now and October. What I'd love to see is for companies to sponsor the memorial service and a day of training. And the way that that works is that we do a day of training and take a dinner break, and then we have a little 30-minute or 45-minute memorial service, which honors the fallen security and private officers across the nation. This is an all-day event, 8 hours. We can do about 6 hours of training, have lunch or dinner, and then take care of the memorial service all in one day. If you'd like more information, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We've done this before. It works out great. We've had hospitals, colleges, law enforcement, and security companies all sponsor us in the past. And as I've said before, we've had a lot of great response. We've had the governor's office. We've had state and U.S. senators and state representatives involved. We've had law enforcement, police chiefs attend, fire chiefs. We've had federal agents, FBI, DEA, and ATF all have attended our memorial services in the past. We did take a couple of years off due to COVID, but now we are back. So once again, what I envision and what we've done in the past is we can do a training 8 a.m. until about noon or 2 p.m., take a break, come back, and then do the memorial service. To be a sponsor, we need a room appropriate for the attendance, usually 25 to 50 persons. We need assistance in marketing the memorial service in your area, basically contacting law enforcement, security companies. We'll put that all together for you. We'll show you how it's done. It doesn't take long. And we also need donations and sponsorship financially, because it does cost a lot to go out, especially now with fuel costs. The cost of hotels has risen substantially in the last 2 years, and it is an expensive endeavor. Contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We also mentioned a week or two ago about reopening some of our chapters now that COVID is, it's not really done with, but it is better than it was 2 years ago. If you are interested in becoming a chapter manager, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Again, it doesn't take a lot of time or money, and there's just a few steps that you have to take. Also, I'd like to remind everyone that we really need your participation in our news, in our services, in our memorial services, in our Officer Down assistance programs, benevolent programs. If you're able to, please go to our website at privateofficer.org, click on the link that says Officer Down, and go to the benevolent page, and please donate whatever that you can. It is a very costly proposition for us to reach out and to assist security officers injured, to put up money with Crime Stoppers when there's been a murder of a security officer, but that is what we do. This is a, it's what we do. I was going to say that this is our life. It is our life. 7 days a week, Private Officer International is in the office. We're available. We take calls from people who are not members, and we help them out, whatever their need and request is. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that you're not aware of. The number of folks that we assist in various ways. We just finished up the active shooter program. This is the last of the four module, and we've had over several hundred folks. We've had hundreds of folks in the last few years that have participated in the Citizens Police Academy. This is all free training, no cost. And when we've added it up as well into the $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 range of free training, and we've given away free training over the years. And so this isn't free. It's costing our company money. We have to pay our employees. We have to pay for the time. We're investing, you know, when you're doing a training class online, it's just like doing a training class in person. You have to distribute the material, the exams, grade the exams. There's a lot of time involved. So it's not free, but it has been free to the students. So please go to our website at privateofficer.org today. Click on the officer down and go to the benevolent page. There is a location there for you to make a donation. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the news, and then we're going to talk about the kind of crisis situation that is happening with private security because of the such a large demand now that there is a lack of law enforcement. But what we're seeing is more and more injuries and deaths of security, and more attacks on security. And how do we prevent that? How do we fight that off? We're going to give you a couple of ideas, but I'd like to hear from you. Go to helpdesk@privateofficer.com and let us know today. And while you're doing it, if you're not a member of Private Officer International, we really need for you to be. Privateofficer.org, sign up today and be a member. We'll be right back.
Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
My name's Melissa Kinsey, and I'm with the YMCA of Lincoln. Drowning can happen in an instant. Your kids need to be safe not only in the swimming pool, but at the lake, and even in the bathtub. So what you can do to keep your kids safe is to supervise them. Put down the phone, put down the book, and sit and watch. Sit and play. Put your swimming suit on, and make sure that your kids are always in view, and they will have a great summer.
Welcome back to Private Officer Beat Radio. I'd like to kind of keep you up to date on the states that no longer require a permit to carry a concealed weapon. Now, there are also a number of states that do not require any permit if you have what's called open carry. As long as the firearm is not concealed, you may carry that firearm without a permit. However, what's called a constitutional carry is now really expanding. What started with one state and then five states and then eight or nine states has really taken off. And recently, in the last 5 months, a number of other states have been included. So if you travel a lot, I'd like to make you aware of the states where you do not need a concealed weapons permit to carry concealed, nor do you need any firearms training. For better or worse, I personally have my own feelings about this. This is the law. Now, recently, a number of states, like I said, was added. The following states allow or soon will allow permitless carry, concealed carry. Alabama just passed in the last couple of months this law into effect. LEO, law enforcement officer certification, no annual certification required for them anymore either. In Alabama, you do not need a concealed weapons permit to carry concealed. In the state of Alaska, you do not need LEOSA qualifications if you are former law enforcement to carry concealed. In Arizona, you do not need a permit to carry. In Arkansas, it is a permitless carry state. You can carry a concealed firearm there without any permit or training whatsoever. Georgia also recently passed a no permit required for concealed carry. Idaho, you can carry a gun concealed and you do not need training or a permit. Indiana, as of just the 1st of July this month, this year, again, this is a no permit required state. You can carry a concealed gun. It's called constitutional carry. Iowa has had it for quite some time. You do not need a permit to carry concealed in Iowa. Indiana, you do not need a permit, as I said a moment ago, but also if you are law enforcement or retired law enforcement, you do not need that certification. In the state of Kansas, you do not need a concealed weapons permit. Any citizen may carry a concealed firearm without a concealed permit because there is no more. In Maine, it does recognize other state permits. Mississippi is a no permit required state as well. Missouri, only qualified officers from their agency need to have certification. Montana, it's a no carry permit required. New Hampshire does not require a permit either. You can carry concealed weapons. In North Dakota, you can carry a firearm concealed without a permit if you are a resident. If you are coming into North Dakota with a permit from another state, they will recognize it. New Hampshire also does not require a concealed carry permit. North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma also does not require that concealed weapons permit. They don't have it anymore. South Dakota, Tennessee, another state that recently passed this law, constitutional carry, no concealed weapons permit is required. Texas, same thing, no permit required to carry concealed. Utah, no permit required to carry a concealed firearm. Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming rounds out the bottom three that no longer requires a concealed weapons permit or any type of training. But let me be clear about this. If you are traveling in New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Maryland, yes, you need not only a concealed weapons permit, but some of those states are very strict with their firearm requirements. Now, you may have seen recently that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on a firearm ownership and being allowed to have a carry concealed permit. However, my understanding is that the states that was targeted in this ruling are making it even more stricter. They're going to follow the Supreme Court ruling, which allows each state to mandate certain requirements that still must be met to have that permit. And my understanding is New York and Maryland have already begun the process. California also stated that they have already completed the process, and it's going to be quite lengthy. Will this stand up to the U.S. Supreme Court ruling? I don't think so, because the ruling was that the states must issue the permit to persons who qualify, and for the state to have a lot of rigmarole, a lot of process, this slows down the process to getting your concealed weapons permit, and it allows the issuing agency to deny you because of one thing or the other. And I don't think that's what the Supreme Court ruling was all about. For further LEOSA and concealed carry permit information, you're advised to contact your state's law enforcement criminal justice training commission if you are retired or current law enforcement. And also, there may be some other entities that you can contact to find out what the requirements are if you are going to be visiting that state. I do want to mention, and I know this is rough times financially for many people, but I do want to mention that it is important for you to get some type of personal liability insurance coverage in case you have to use your firearm. And there are many different companies that offer it. USCCA is one of them. The NRA still has liability insurance that covers your firearm use, even if you are a security officer and use your firearm during duty hours. If you are retired or current law enforcement, the FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, they still have insurance as well, and there are other providers, but I really do suggest that you do get some type of insurance that will cover you. We just had on the legal side radio show a couple of weeks ago, we talked about what your employer is and is not responsible for. Well, this is one of those things that their insurance would cover them for if they're sued, but it would not cover you individually. So I strongly suggest that you get that. I wanted to update you on these new states that have been added because a lot of people have asked. There's a lot of misinformation out there, but you can in many, many states. Let me see how many was that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, there's 26 states now that allow concealed carry without a permit, and there are several others that I'm aware of that is going that direction. There was quite a battle over this in Alabama and Tennessee from law enforcement saying that crime would increase with more people carrying a firearm. But the truth is criminals never had a carry permit. Only the good guys had the carry permit. So if you have more questions, you can contact your local state law enforcement or issuing authority or contact help desk at privateofficer.com.
Gordon Graham here with today's tip from Lexapol. And today's tip deals with what law enforcement officers should do when you encounter someone who may be carrying a gun lawfully. Now, it's very likely that each of you in your career at some point will encounter someone who's lawfully armed. It could be during a traffic stop. It could be during a call for service. Or you might just see somebody carrying a gun while you're out on patrol. There are many people across the United States who are authorized by law to carry a weapon. The person with the gun could be an off-duty or retired law enforcement officer. The person could be a civilian with an appropriate permit. The person could also be a criminal intent on doing harm, harm to you or harm to someone else. The simple truth is that we do not have a foolproof and perfectly safe way to tell the difference. We have no way of knowing whether an armed person is carrying a weapon lawfully or not. And even if the weapon is being carried lawfully, we have no way of knowing whether the person intends to use the weapon against us or someone else. As you probably figured out already, I cannot give you a one-size-fits-all solution. I can say that we must consider individual rights and officer safety. The right thing to do will vary dramatically depending on your training, your agency, the state you live in, and the unique facts of the situation. Here are a few things that you should do. Please avoid complacency. Use appropriate tactics. Watch the hands. Use available cover and concealment. Request and please wait for backup when appropriate. Do not place yourself unnecessarily in harm's way. Remain polite and professional. And remember that a good explanation about the risks we face and our desire to return home to our families can go a long way with someone who seems offended that you were, quote, overly cautious. Please maintain a good working knowledge of search and seizure, your state's laws, and your department's expectations. And if you have any questions, you should ask them now and not wait until you encounter someone with a gun.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vest or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, 1 in 6 children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to povertyusa.org today. Because 1 in 6 children in poverty is 1 too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Police in Florida say a home invasion was foiled when a homeowner fought back. The Escambia County Sheriff says 3 men approached the front door of a home. When the homeowner opened the door, cops say 2 of the men pushed their way inside while a 3rd stayed outside, pulling a handgun from his pants. Video from the homeowner's doorbell cam shows the 3rd man go inside, and then all 3 men run away from the home as the homeowner fired a gun at them. Cops say they ran back to their vehicle where a getaway driver was waiting. Police have made 2 arrests in this case. DeTorrence Hackworth and Antonio Dwayne Dean Jr. are both charged with use, display of a firearm during a felony, possession of a firearm by a felon, larceny, grand theft of a firearm, and robbery home invasion with a firearm. Hackworth has pleaded not guilty to the charges against him. Police are still looking for 2 other suspects. One of them is still unidentified. If you have any information, you can contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office.
Americans across the country are fed up with crime. They're taking the law in their own hands after not being able to get police to respond quick enough. Just in the past 7 days, there's been 4 different violent incidents where Americans said enough is enough. A homeowner in Escambia, Florida, as you just heard, was able to defend his property and his life by using his own firearms. 3 armed men broke into his home in the overnight hours, but the homeowner was prepared, first pulling out a handgun, and when he dropped that, he retreated to pick up an AR-15 and began firing at the suspects. In Raleigh, North Carolina, another homeowner woke to find two people in their home. He didn't call 911. He reached into the drawer of his nightstand and got his firearm and chased the men as they began firing at him. He shot and killed one suspect. Another suspect was wounded. In New York City, a bodega owner, that's a grocery store, convenience store, fought back after he was attacked by a large man after a customer complained of service and then called the boyfriend to the store. This story has made national headlines after the bodega owner stabbed the man in self-defense and was charged with that crime of murder. Many community activists and law enforcement across the country are demanding that all charges be dropped from this bodega owner. We're seeing crime continue to spike across the country. Back in the Wild Wild West days, you can imagine how people just had to take the law in their own hands because the town or the area only had one sheriff or a town marshal, and police were not able to adequately protect its citizens. We're seeing this now across the country. Many companies and communities have brought in private security to help to quell the crime, to control the crime, to respond to the crime, and now security officers too are being injured and killed while protecting life and property. But let me tell you this, and I am not the only one making this prediction, this situation will continue to increase as more and more communities see less and less police and prosecutors who are not prosecuting the crimes adequately, if at all. America has had enough. You're seeing the headlines. You're hearing it in your neighborhoods. But when private security is brought into the mix, this is really a problem more than an answer. And I'm going to tell you why coming up right after this break. Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
mass,
I'll be flaggers.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over. When you need us,
we've got your back.
Do you have ours?
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down
and move over.
What a fantastic day.
What a fantastic day.
The water's like glass.
The water is like glass.
Don't forget the soda.
Don't forget the life jackets.
Who wants the 8 and who wants the 15?
Who wants the inflatables?
What a great day.
To be on the water.
So glad you saw me go over.
That was so funny when you went over and your life jacket inflated.
Never go out without a life jacket on again.
What a great day we had.
When it comes to wearing life jackets, make the right choice. You're in command. Vote responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and the U.S. Coast Guard.
Officers Under Attack. The sermon is preached here often behind this pulpit. Across the country, we're seeing a substantial rise in law enforcement and private security officer attacks and felonious deaths. At this time, this moment, this place across the country, Officer Dom Memorial Page reports 137 police officer deaths. Of those, 46 have been caused by what's called felonious homicide, murder. In the U.S., at this moment, this time, in this place, there has been 87 security officer deaths, 48 felonious homicides, murder, and there's no stopping in sight. The fact is, with the increased use of private security in high-risk situations, we will continue to see attacks on security officers nationwide. Take into consideration the attack that happened in Tacoma, Washington. A U.S. Army Ranger, Patrick Byrne, 26, attacked and murdered security officer Denise Smith just because she asked for his identification as he was trying to enter a building. David Patrick Underwood was a contract security officer murdered during the violent riots in Oakland. Leon Casper, 67, murdered in his vehicle. 80-year-old Birmingham security officer murdered at a mine. A second security officer was also shot. Stephen Lemerick Franklin, Troy, Alabama, was shot and murdered this year in the back. Calvin Munnellan, 43, was the security officer that was murdered about 2 years ago at a Flint, Michigan Family Dollar store just because he asked the man to put on a face covering. And this month so far, just 18 days into the month, we have 4 security officer murders, 2 others that we're currently researching at this moment to confirm. Over the weekend, New York City, a bank security officer stabbed multiple times and is in critical condition after he was asked to escort a man out of the bank who was causing a disturbance. In Buffalo, New York, a man arrested there for assaulting a federal contract security officer and trying to take his gun this past week. Annapolis, Maryland, a woman now charged with aggravated assault and carjacking at an assault of a Annapolis Mall security officer that occurred just a few days ago at 4:30 in the morning. We take you to Memphis, Tennessee. Again, just this past week, a Memphis Lights and Gas and Water security officer was shot multiple times at a facility. In fact, the report says 7 times. The security officer asked a subject to show his hands when he discovered him loitering on the property. The security officer was shot in the chest and also numerous other locations, but he survived because he was wearing a bulletproof vest. In Glen Cove, Long Island, New York, again, just within the last few days, a very swanky party going on at a Long Island mansion. 3 people, including the security officer on duty that was hired to protect everyone, has been shot. Kansas City, Missouri, police there report a security officer at an ale house, along with 5 others, shot during a disturbance. He is in critical condition. A security officer in Galveston County, Texas, he also was shot on July the 10th. Galveston County Sheriff's Office reporting that an attempted robbery of a game room took place. The security officer tried to persuade the men to leave, and he was shot and, again, critical condition. In New Orleans, Louisiana, a security officer interrupting a vehicle burglary had a man pull a gun on him. He unfortunately, was shot by the security officer. And in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a security officer there was killed. This was during a confrontation at a store. The security officer went to intervene. This occurred 1 week ago on a Saturday, and he was killed. A hotel guest and a security guard was pistol whipped and robbed in Houston, Texas, also within the last 10 days. Coming out of San Francisco, a man now arrested in the stabbing of a Walgreens security officer. Police apprehended the suspect shortly afterwards. A man in Pennsylvania is in custody after knocking a security officer unconscious. According to police, the man got into a confrontation after being asked to leave the business. California security officer there shot and killed. This was at a smoke shop, a robbery gone bad. Police say that the officer, Odilio Rodriguez, 36, was not armed. Portland, Oregon, we've told you there, several security officers in recent weeks have come under attack, including a mobile patrol officer making his patrols dark at night going down the street when suddenly a man jumped out of a parked vehicle and opened fire five times on the vehicle, injuring the security officer. Just days prior, a man pulled a gun on another Portland, Oregon security officer and shot him center mass. That security officer also was wearing a bullet-resistant vest, and his life was saved. Phoenix, Arizona, a security officer there was murdered after he wouldn't allow a man into a nightclub. Police there say that they did make an arrest. In Merced, California, a store security officer there also injured, stabbed multiple times at a grocery store. Security officer disarmed and shots were fired at him in Oak Lawn, Illinois. This was in the beginning of July. Police said a robbery had occurred. A shoplifter who shot at security officers in the midst of shoplifting at a store in Las Vegas also shot herself. She has been charged with two counts of attempted murder of those security officers. And in Soledad, California, a security officer making preparations in his driveway to go to work was carjacked and shot. Police say that the suspect fled on foot. And on and on and on, there has been more than 100 incidents involving a firearm since July the 1st. Across the country, more and more security officers, just like law enforcement, are coming under attack. We are seeing many communities hiring security personnel to protect them, both gated communities and business and entertainment districts. The problem with that, many times the security officers are undertrained, unarmed, don't have any two-way radio communication, and have no way of protecting themselves. And in recent months, we're seeing these towns and cities not only hiring unarmed security officers to patrol during the daytime in the entertainment and business district, but also foot patrolling at night, overnight. A number of communities and resort towns now using private contract security instead of law enforcement because they don't have enough officers to go around. We have been featuring a security company in Chicago, Illinois. Now, community activists say that these security officers have a large majority of the city under contract, both foot patrol and mobile patrol. I have taken a look into their contract situation and the areas that they're covering. I see nothing that would say that they were doing anything wrong, but many are worried because these security officers are armed. Across the country, I believe that we will see a continual rise in the use of security in lieu of not being able to contract off-duty law enforcement. Is that a danger? It certainly is. Over the years, we've talked about over and over and over again the safety concerns of having poorly trained security personnel at no fault of their own. And I want that well known. No one's pointing the finger at the security officer. No one's blaming the security officer. What I'm saying is that we're putting them in harm's way on purpose for money, for gain of financial. We're putting people out there that cannot even defend themselves. How can they protect others? What are the answers to these questions? What can we do to better protect our people? If you're a private security officer or private law enforcement listening to today's radio show or reading our news blast, let me give you a few tips. We have mentioned in two different radio programs over the years about a buddy system. You may not be a double officer post or patrol, but you can still be a buddy system. If you have another employee of the company working the same shift at a different location, you can download several walkie-talkie apps. Zello is one of the best. I've used them for a number of years, but there are other ones out there. This way, you're going to have two-way radio communication, even if you don't have a full-time dispatcher. You can also go to one of these companies like I-911-NET or some of the other providers of 24-hour dispatch for about $50 a month. You can have a 24-hour dispatch of your own. That way, prior to making contact with somebody who's suspicious or someone that you believe is armed or somebody who's causing a disturbance, you can just key in on the microphone and call your own dispatcher, and they will notify police. Some of the other things that you can do, you can have somebody on the other line call 911. Keep the line open. Tell them that you're security at a certain location. You're going in to investigate a suspicious person, a complaint of a fight. You heard gunshots. You're going to check it out. 911 dispatchers will keep that phone line open and dispatch law enforcement. If you find out it was just fireworks or just a couple of guys fooling around and not really a fight, all that you have to do is cancel 911. Just say, I've checked it out. This is nothing. It was just some kids playing around, and they will cancel the responding law enforcement officers. We are too deep into the wild, wild west days. I've mentioned this before. America is fed up. Our citizens are fed up. They're fighting back by arming themselves. They're fighting back by hiring contract private security officers. And in a number of states that allow private police, they're hiring their own police force. This is both good and bad for the contract security company owner or the private police operator. It's great that new business is rolling in, and I predict that it will continue to roll in for probably years to come as law enforcement is so far behind in recruitment, many admitting that they are several hundred or even 1,000 officers short. I don't believe that this is going to interfere with crime. I don't believe that it's going to slow down the trend. I believe attacks will continue on law enforcement. Thank goodness that recent polls have shown that most of America, more than 70%, are on the side of law enforcement and that they would get involved if they saw a law enforcement officer being injured or somebody beating on them. And I'm going to play an audio to the point, and then we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come right back on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
30. In this new dash cam video we're going to show you, you can hear the Illinois State Trooper trying to help the driver he pulled over before he was attacked during that traffic stop. Thanks for joining us at 5:30. I'm Kyle Beachy.
And I'm Janice Rebholz. Video you'll only see here. Alex Gall is breaking down the 11-minute video that we received from ISP today. He joins us now. Alex.
Right, Kyle and Janice. It's a confrontation we told you about weeks ago between Trooper Matthew Nyhouse of the Illinois State Police and Randy Turner, who he pulled over. Now we're seeing it as it happened and the danger that this officer faced when he was tackled to the ground back on May 25th. It starts when Nyhouse pulls over Turner for speeding, going 109 miles an hour in a 70-mile-per-hour zone on I-55 near Chenoa. You can see them having a conversation here. The trooper tells Turner he's not going to arrest him, but will give him a ticket and calls for a tow truck since Turner's license is expired. That's when Turner tackles him and tries to get his gun. This initial struggle lasts just under a minute. Nyhouse gets hit in the face multiple times and sprayed with his own pepper spray. Eventually, he calls for help, and later, a passerby with a concealed carry permit comes to his aid and points a gun at Turner. Turner tries to escape in the tow truck, but is brought down and is finally arrested. All this happening before law enforcement backup arrived 7 minutes later. During the encounter, Nyhouse asked Turner why he did it and thanks the passerby who helped him.
Try being nice to this guy. Try being nice. I let my guard down. You can stay right there. Kill me.
Yeah, I did.
You went for my gun, man. What is wrong with you? You want to die? Hey, who was it that came out with the gun? Thank you.
And we do know that the trooper Nyhouse has been released from the hospital, and that happened shortly after that altercation. Turner is facing, meanwhile, a slew of charges and received a $2 million bond. We have more details and some more video on our website, hoyabc.com.
Who knows what a child will grow up to be? It's one of the coolest things about kids. The unknown. The potential. The chance to do or become whatever they can imagine. But what if something happens during childhood that stops them from reaching that potential? Did you know that preventable injuries are the number one killer of children in the United States? And around the world, one child dies from a preventable injury every 30 seconds. But the important thing to remember about preventable injuries is that they're preventable. We can do something to stop them. Things to make sure kids get the chance to be creative and play. The chance to take chances and explore. The chance to fall down and get back up. Help us give your kid, and every kid, the chance to grow up, reach their potential, and become whatever they can imagine. Learn how at safekids.org.
When I was a gang leader, we probably did business together. Because when people like you buy knockoffs on the street, often the money goes to gangs. And gangs use this easy money for other activities. In other words, they're getting a lot of bang for their buck.
Counterfeits hurt, but you have the power to stop them. Go to www.ncpc.org/get real. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
In Toledo, Ohio, where police officers were recently involved in a fatal shooting of a suspect where 60 rounds were fired off by multiple officers, police now have a bounty on their heads. Law enforcement in that city in Ohio has confirmed this past week that they have authorized their officers not to wear their name tags, to take off all identifying mark other than they are a police officer. After the shooting, police intelligence was able to develop information that was credible, that a number of people were offering online fast cash for identifying the eight officers involved in the shooting. We have also developed information where several known groups have been targeting law enforcement, specifically in a concerted effort. Investigations are underway. This is really not new, to the point where during the riots over the last few years, people did target local and federal law enforcement, and there was a time when federal law enforcement agencies also removed their names from uniforms, and of course, complaints were filed against them. But this is a real situation, bounties on the heads of law enforcement. So as private security officers often working alone, how can we mitigate our own injuries or even death? What is it that we can do beyond what we spoke about before going to the break? Maybe getting the walkie-talkie apps, having a partner, having someone there on the phone on 911 whenever you're approaching someone. There are a number of other things that we can do. There are several body cameras now available on Amazon for less than $200 that are GPS equipped. When you activate the body camera, it sends your GPS coordinates to whoever you have it programmed to send it to, your company, your partner, your wife, your husband, whoever, so that they can watch the video real time, and if something was to occur, notify law enforcement immediately. Another GPS protective weapon, this is made by Saber. Saber has a new canister out. It's been out for a while now. When the pepper spray is activated, it sends an alert to the numbers that you have programmed in there. It sends a GPS coordinate, and it notifies multiple people, whoever you have it programmed to notify, that you have activated the Saber pepper spray, and it can also notify 911, and it will send your coordinates with that notification. So there are three or four different products out there to protect us. There's also another GPS equipped device similar to help, I've fallen and I can't get up. This is an emergency beacon. You can carry it and press the button when you are in trouble. It will go to a call center, and they will have your GPS coordinates on their screen and notify law enforcement as well. Of course, we have spoke previously in other radio shows. There are a number of apps out there. Many colleges use them. You can press that app button when you're in trouble, and it will contact whoever you have programmed in that app when you're in trouble, including 911. So there's an assortment now of technology devices that will help to protect us? Will they fight back for us? Will they fire a gun for us? Of course not. But that is a beginning effort to keep us safe. There are also other methods. We talk often about how the fire department and medics have protocols. When they arrive on scene, even long before they get out of their vehicles, they do what's called a scene size up. I teach it all the time. Just taught it again last week. Talked about it even in our active shooter training that we were doing online. As you are approaching any type of situation, an area of service for call, an area having a problem, you need to be doing a complete 360 as much as you can, a scene size up. Don't enter the area until you know what's going on. Evaluate the situation and back out of it. If you don't feel comfortable, you're outnumbered, you hear fire arms being shot off, or it just doesn't feel right. I recommend that you wear body armor. I understand that's not always an option for many security personnel, and even some law enforcement. They have their body armor donated by nonprofits. But body armor, as we've seen just in the last couple of weeks, three different security officers were saved because they were wearing body armor. If you are working with another partner, with another person, you might want to use the cover and contact technique. Do not both approach the person. One person approaches and talks and asks questions, while the other is standing a little bit off to the side, monitoring the situation, watching the hands of the suspects, watching their feet. I just played an audio earlier about an Illinois trooper. I recommend that you go and find that video because the driver who was standing by his car gave a telltale sign that he was about to do something. He was standing there, the trooper was talking and getting ready to go back to write a ticket. The man turned his head to the right and looked away for a split second before turning back and attacking the law enforcement officer. That is a telltale sign. Another telltale sign is when they're shuffling their feet. If they have their feet pointed in one direction and all of a sudden they start turning toward you, that's an attack sign. You can also look at their eyes. Their eyes will also give it away. But, of course, you always want to be monitoring their hands. It is not a good time to wear a uniform, whether security or law enforcement, and it's getting harder to do your job without being attacked. These days, if you even approach someone, they already have an attitude. They already want to start giving you a bunch of crapola. And if they don't like what they're being told, there's a good likelihood that they're going to attack you. Here at Private Officer International, we do keep track of the statistics. We're seeing how they are rising very, very fast, assaults, injuries, shootings, and death. We'd love for you to send us that information if you know of a security officer being assaulted, injured, or killed. Helpdesk at privateofficer.com. That helps us to compile the statistics. We are going to be making some recommendations for changes with OSHA. We're putting that together right now. If you would like to have any input in that, you can contact us at Help Desk as well. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Remember, if you want to be entertained, you want to hear some good country music, gospel, bluegrass, or indie music, go to iHeartRadio and look for Highway 98 Radio, Coastal Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. We're there. You can also get it on about 27 different platforms or listen to us live three times a week. Until the next time, folks, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.
Thank you.